From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment, our connections with and impacts upon it. I'm Chris Cherniak. Nell Larson is away today. Mike Newell has been a member of the Utah House of Representatives since 2003. He is also a member of the House Natural Resources, Agricultural, and Environment Committee and the House Ethics Committee. And when he's not in session in Salt Lake City, he serves as the executive director of the Kane County Water Conservancy District. Representative Noel was also a huge supporter of the downsizing of both the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. Now it has been discovered that 40 acres of land he owns in the Johnson Canyon area of Kane County, which was once inside the GSC boundary, will now be just outside of the new boundary in an unusual-looking carving of the proposed boundary map. The Western Values Project, a nonprofit organization, has filed a complaint with the Department of Interior's Inspector General, citing that this land ownership by Mr. Newell had never been formally or adequately disclosed to the public. We'll speak with the executive director of the Western Values Project, Chris Sager, in the first part of the show. Then in the second half, I'll speak with Zach Frankel, executive director of Utah Rivers Council. Zach will be calling in from the state capitol to give us the latest on proposed bills and resolutions that may have a bearing on our state's watersheds, including bills that would reduce water quality protection and support the proposed multi-billion-dollar Lake Powell pipeline, all bills sponsored in part by Mike Newell. We don't take phone calls during the show, but you can join in on today's discussion by posting your comments and questions to our email address, thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. Our connections with and impacts upon the environment, that's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Brenda with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage collection and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. As you recycle, please remember, glass cannot go in your residential curbside recycling bin. Thank you for helping to keep Summit County clean and green. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Nell Larson is away this week. Now, the Western Values Project is a nonprofit which supports the balanced and ethical uses of public lands. They have called for an Inspector General investigation into the DOI's Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument boundary reduction. Specifically, they have filed a complaint citing Representative Mike Newell's influence and personal financial benefit from the shrunken boundary. Chris Sager is the executive director of the Western Values Project, and he has said, quote, "What has become clear is that Representative Newell failed to disclose the land he owned within the boundary to just about everyone except maybe the Internal Revenue Service. Not only is Newell in violation of Utah state law, but more importantly, it calls into question how the proclaimed new Grand Staircase boundary came to be," unquote. Now, we had a chance to speak with Chris Sager about this issue and why the Western Values Project is calling for an investigation into this situation. And here is our interview.
We can do that, but we can go through 30 minutes if we... All right, well, we're speaking with Chris Sager, Executive Director of the Western Values Project. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the Western Values Project recently broke the news that Utah State Representative Mike Newell failed to disclose land ownership within the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, and subsequently he may have potentially abused his position here within the state. And we're going to talk about all the details of that, but we want to start with the basics of your organization. So tell us about the Western Values Project and your mission.
So the Western Values Project is a few years old, and we take a government accountability approach to public lands advocacy. We're interested in making sure that the decisions that are made about these lands are ethical, that they're done in a way that is compliant with the rules and standards that are set forth for people like Mike Newell and for the people who run the Department of Interior.
And when was the organization founded, and what was the motivation for that?
The organization was founded in 2013, and the motivation was that a voice like this. I'm the second executive director, so I can only speak in broad generalities about it. But I believe the motivation at the time was to provide a missing piece in the overall public lands advocacy community, and that was one that was not doing some of the great work that's sort of scientifically driven, like a lot of other groups are doing, but is more serving a watchdog role and an accountability role, and that isn't afraid to wade into difficult conversations like the one that we started about Mike Noel.
Right, but before we get into that conversation, give us an example of some other projects that the WVA has been working on, WVP has been working on.
Gosh, there's a lot. I think, we've been interested in, for example, whether or not the senior leadership of the Department of Interior is spending taxpayer dollars responsibly in the way that they carry out their, administration of public lands. So that for us, at least under the Obama administration, led to advocacy for a policy that would stop the venting and flaring of natural gas on public lands. Every year, millions and millions of dollars, at least under the previous system, had been wasted because oil companies, through the process of fracking, developed so much natural gas that rather than selling it on the market, they would just burn it off. Right. And so we supported a series of reforms that would have encouraged them to sell what is a relatively low carbon, relatively clean source of energy out on the open market rather than to burn it off. More recently during the Trump administration at the Department of Interior level, we've done a lot, and we've been interested in particular in making sure that Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke lives up to the original promise that he made to become a Teddy Roosevelt conservationist. A lot of which means, like I said, spending taxpayer dollars responsibly and, making sure that the department is run in a way that is ethical and transparent. And so we filed a number of Freedom Act requests to learn more about what's happening behind the scenes at the Department of the Interior.
Okay.
So transitioning over to this news about Representative Mike Noel, tell us how the Western Values Project kind of made this discovery.
So we, once the new maps were released by President Trump, we sort of took a global look at all the interested parties in the areas around, both Grand Staircase Escalante and Bears Ears in order to determine whether or not there was anything untoward going on. And I think, elsewhere in other sources, a lot has been reported about the undue influence of the uranium industry. And more recently by the New York Times, it was uncovered that the oil industry certainly exerted a lot of pressure on the congressional delegation and the Department of Interior. We felt it was also important to get some of these less likely, sources out in the open and at least to start asking questions about the full extent of their influence. And particularly in the case of Mike Noel, who is obviously a very close ally of the Trump administration. I mean, he met with Secretary Zinke before the boundaries were drawn. He was on stage in Salt Lake City when the president signed the order declaring that the boundaries to both monuments be shrunk. And so we felt it was important to interrogate whether or not there was something going on here where an important political ally to the Trump administration had been getting the kind of treatment that had been getting really an inappropriate level of treatment. We've seen this elsewhere with the Department of Interior, including on the offshore oil leases in Florida that were the subject of really great controversy for Secretary Zinke, when it appeared that they orchestrated the cancellation of some of those offshore leases in order to create a positive news story for Governor Rick Scott.
Right. We actually talked about that a few weeks ago, where Ryan Zinke flew into Tallahassee, met with the governor for roughly 20 minutes and then suddenly declared that the western part of, or the eastern part of the Gulf of Mexico was out of play as far as leasing for oil and gas, and it made it look like an environmental victory for Governor Scott, who is no, as I'm from Florida, it was no environmentalist. So I hear what you're saying there. But let's talk about what is the issue here with State Representative Mike Noel? What is he, you know, not accused of, but what is the situation?
Well, I think it's important to take a step back even before the boundaries were drawn and to recognize that, like I said, Mr. Noel met with the Department of Interior in order to ostensibly advocate for new boundaries.
Right.
And it was also reported by the Salt Lake Tribune that proposals for a redrawn Grand Staircase Escalante were left to Payne County leaders. Although they have refused to disclose what their boundaries were, what their proposed boundaries were to the Department of Interior, they haven't made those maps public to anyone, not to the news media or anybody else. Mike Noel, of course, has a position in Kane County. And so because they have not disclosed what those maps were, we decided to dig a little bit deeper. And that led us to take a look at the disclosures that Mr. Noel makes to the state legislature. And these are a standard disclosure that all legislators are required to file in order to make sure that the public has the opportunity to evaluate whether or not they're advocating for policies that could personally benefit them. And in Mike Noel's case, he introduced a resolution in the state legislature calling for those boundaries to be shrunk, although the disclosures that he made to the legislature did not include the company that he owns that owns this land that was sort of in an isolated pocket of Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. So all of that altogether smells pretty bad. You know, the fact that he did not disclose these things to the legislature, the fact that the county where he has an official position has not disclosed what their proposed maps were, and the fact that the boundaries ended up, you know, basically totally detaching the land that Mike Noel owns entirely from Grand Staircase Escalante.
So has Mike Noel commented, now that this is kind of in the spotlight, has he commented on why he didn't disclose this ownership of the company that owned this land? Has he had anything to say about this?
Yeah, he has. He has sort of insinuated that when he filed his taxes, that when he paid his property taxes or the company paid his property taxes, that was basically a disclosure. And not in the eyes of the legislature, certainly. It is not at all clear on that.
Chris, you're starting to get a little.
He was actually disclosing this.
Chris, you're starting to get a little fuzzy again. I'm not sure if there's a better spot. We're losing you a little bit.
I can try to go outside.
That's better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, look, to make a long story short, he, you know, did not disclose to the legislature on the forms that he is required to in order to demonstrate potential conflicts of interest, whether or not he owns this land. He thinks because he paid the property taxes on it, that's the same thing. But it is far from easy for the average citizen to pull the property tax records on, you know, all the properties that, you know, a given state legislator owns and to line those up against, you know, legislation that they're working on that, you know, might have a potential personal benefit to them.
And to be clear again, this is 40 acres of land, a parcel that is near Johnson Canyon, owned by a group called Noel Properties LLC, correct?
Yeah, correct. I mean, that's certainly what the public records we have indicate. Mr. Noel's made the argument to reporters that have called about this that it's actually owned by a family trust. We don't see any evidence in public records to confirm that claim. And even if it were true, he still should have disclosed the trust and still, which is actually a greater personal benefit to him than an LLC is, than a private company is. Because a private company can have investors, it can have shareholders, it can have other you know, interested parties, a family trust really just benefits the people who are closest to you. So it's a little bit of an unusual argument.
Right. And again, originally, in the original, I guess, draft reboundering of this of the Grand Staircase Escalante, his parcel of land was inside the new revised boundary. But then another map came out, another boundary map came out, and suddenly his parcel was outside the new boundary layout, correct?
Yeah, that's under the boundaries that were proposed by President Trump.
Right. Okay. And it is an odd looking on your website, which is, by the way, what, westernvaluesproject.org?
Correct.
On your website, you have a picture of those two boundaries, the before and after. And it is an odd looking carving of this little part of the boundary. That once his property was inside it, and now suddenly it's outside of it. So this is curious, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of this could be, you know, I mean, look, like there's two problems going on. One is potentially what's the benefit of this to his land, and we can talk about that separately.
Yeah.
But there's a more fundamental issue about transparency and about accountability and whether or not he's doing business as a public official in a way that's board. You know, the idea that the people that we send to elected office should not be doing their job just strictly to benefit themselves, but to benefit, you know, all taxpayers and all citizens is, I think, something that's pretty fundamental. It's a pretty basic value. And it's why, for example, the Utah State Legislature requires those disclosures, and the fact that he's not only flouted them, but sort of mocked the idea that he ever didn't disclose them because he paid his property taxes is more than a little bit absurd.
So there have been some other concerns from your group and the Campaign for Accountability regarding his behavior and his potential use of his position as an elected representative to sort of, I don't know, sort of use that for personal gain. Will you walk us through, I guess, just a few of these other situations?
Yeah, and so I think the area in which, you know, there are, I guess, at least a couple different ways in which, you know, the county and Mr. Noel himself could benefit. I mean, one, you know, the reduction of these boundaries certainly liberates some water rights that were previously owned by a coal company that were then transferred to the county. It now, you know, makes those water rights a lot more valuable. But more importantly, there is an ongoing discussion, of course, about the Lake Powell pipeline, which is something that Mr. Noel has advocated for quite a long time. The land that he owns in this area is fairly dry, and questions need to be asked. And you know, this is part of what we hope any investigation uncovers, is whether or not he wanted to do this because he believed that the Lake Powell pipeline could be a benefit to that land, that it could, you know, provide access to water in a place that's had water quality issues and water quantity issues in order to create that benefit. And of course, the new boundaries of the monument make it much, much more easy to construct the Lake Powell pipeline.
So what are the repercussions of this, I guess, or potential repercussions of this for Mike Noel? What's happening right now in the legislature? Is there an investigation? You know, right. What are the next steps?
Well, I couldn't speak entirely to what the next steps are on the investigation that Campaign for Accountability has requested of the Utah Attorney General, because that's sort of separate and in their category. But I don't believe that the Utah Attorney General has responded in public anyways about, you know, whether or not they intend to take up the investigation. I think that's the next immediate step there. Likewise, the Inspector General at the Department of Interior is reviewing a separate complaint that we filed with them at the federal level, asking them to investigate what the department knew about Mike Noel's land, what, you know, its conversations were with him about it, and so on. So sort of putting the onus on the Department of Interior to make sure that they did their due diligence in order to, you know, ensure that, you know, they weren't just doing something for the narrow benefit of a single political ally, but to benefit all the people in that community and the land and water.
If you just joined
us. We have not heard back yet from the Department of Interior about whether or not they intend to take up an investigation.
Okay. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Chris Seger. He's executive director of the Western Values Project, and we're talking, amongst other things, this interesting issue with respect to State Senator Mike Noel and the reboundering of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument and whether or not there was some influence there from on Mr. Noel's part to kind of carve out a 40-acre parcel of land that he owns out to make it carved out of the new boundary. And also, I want to go back to this, Chris. Again, the Lake Powell pipeline, if I understood correctly, at one point, at least a portion of the right-of-way, the proposed right-of-way for the Lake Powell pipeline was inside the new Grand Staircase Escalante boundary, and now it's not. Is that true?
You know, I am not entirely sure. I think, you know, basically the new boundaries facilitate or would more easily facilitate construction of the pipeline. And that's sort of what's material to, you know, the question about the conflicts of interest.
Right. Well, actually, as a teaser, we'll learn more about that in the second half of the show when we speak with Zach Frankel with the Utah Rivers Council. He knows the proposed Lake Powell pipeline very well, and maybe he'll give us a little additional insight. And he also knows the situation with Mike Noel, too.
Yeah.
So you're saying then it's up to the Department of Interior to kind of do an internal investigation as to whether or not there's some impropriety that goes on here. That sounds a little dubious, to say the least. I've lost a lot of faith in a Department of Interior of kind of following through on the things that they're going to say they're going to do, like Ryan Zinke becoming the next Teddy Roosevelt. That one is out the window for me. But that's what you're saying is here is going to have to go on. The DOI, at least, will do some interior internal evaluation of this situation.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess I would say a couple of things. The first is, you know, just because they're not meeting a high standard at the Department of Interior doesn't mean that we should lower our standard.
Right.
And so, you know, we're going to continue to hold their feet to the fire, at least so the public knows whether or not they're willing to live up to that standard. And we're going to keep asking the questions because, you know, fundamentally that's just what we should expect from the government. The second thing I would say is that the Inspector General is actually detached from the political leadership at the Department of Interior, and they have the opportunity to look at this in a much more even-handed way. I mean, they certainly, during the Obama administration, you know, released some analyses of different decisions, you know, at various levels of the Department of Interior that I think you'd have to say weren't totally favorable to that administration. And so that gives us some faith that they're going to evaluate this in at least as an objective a way as they've always done their job.
Right. So.
I also wanted to note that Raul Grijalva of Arizona wrote a letter to Ryan Zinke himself, kind of asking for background information and clarification on this topic. Has Secretary Zinke weighed in on this at all yet?
No, not at all. You know, I know that they have responded to reporters about the, you know, about what is shown in our report, but they certainly haven't addressed whether or not there were conversations there, you know, about Mike Noel's individual land.
All right.
And even then, I guess, you know, another thing that I would point out to you about his land, it may be, I mean, nobody is saying that a private property owner who has land that's adjacent to or sort of surrounded by public land has no role in a decision like this. They absolutely have, every right in order to participate in the decisions their government makes about these things. But we need to weigh those interests against all of the other ones. And we also, more importantly, need to make sure that those conversations are held in the light of day and that they're held in a way that's transparent and accountable, so that we can understand why he would have wanted these boundary reductions if, in fact, that's what he asked Interior for.
Have the conversations so far been purely along party lines? So, you know, Democrats are asking for this information. Republicans aren't weighing in yet. Is it following those party lines at this point?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, to a large extent, it is. And that's ironic because that's an area where, you know, leaders, where the difference between the political leadership doesn't line up with the things that most people in most Western states actually believe, which is that we should have, you know, a pretty balanced approach to the way that we manage public lands. And that includes, you know, protecting some areas that have great value to the outdoor economy, like Bears Ears.
So I do
think that a lot of the conversation around this, at least at that level, has unfortunately, you know, not caught up with the things that most people in most places across the West believe.
So if listeners are interested in, weighing in on this or learning more about the topic, where do you recommend that they go?
Well, we would recommend they go to westernvaluesproject.org in order to, learn about the report and, the difference in the maps, for example, that you mentioned before that I think is really illustrative of what's at stake here. I think it sounds like you're going to have Zach on later, and he's somebody who seems to me to be a lot more knowledgeable about the Lake Powell pipeline.
Right.
And, you know, that's a whole nother side to the story that is really, really important and I think deserves to be unpacked through one of these investigations or at least through more candor from Mr. Noel. Our interest in this has always been in the monument. That's, you know, as a public lands advocacy group, that's most of what we do. But, I would also equally encourage people to seek out information from groups like about what the implications of all this are for the Lake Powell pipeline.
All right. Well, Chris Sager is executive director of the Western Values Project. And again, the website is westernvaluesproject.org. Go there. Yes, check out that map. It's a very interesting map. How it carves out those 40 acres among other parcels and around it. Chris, again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on This Green Earth.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Thanks for your interest.
Thanks, Chris.
And that was Chris Sager, executive director with Western Values Project. Our conversation Nell and I had with him yesterday about the reboundering of Grand Staircase Escalante. When we come up, we're going to continue the conversation with respect to Utah public lands and watersheds. We're going to be talking with Zach Frankel, the executive director of Utah Rivers Council. It's all on This Green Earth. We'll be right back after these words from our underwriters.
Dr. Bob Miller here from Miller Orthodontics, proud supporter of The Local View with Randy Barton, who makes us all smile. Embrace is a technology to straighten teeth without anything showing. More information about Embrace is at myembrace.com.
Quarterly Summit Community Powerworks reports During This Green Earth is brought to you in part by Rocky Mountain Power. Being energy efficient is good for you and the Wasatch Back. Being mindful of how you use energy makes our community better. More information on how to make a difference at wattsmart.com.
Hi, this is Bill Rock. The Vail Epic Promise Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is a proud supporter of KPCW. It now can provide Park City Mountain employees with emergency relief grants. Information about employee grants is available at epicpromise.com.
China gets broken and it will never
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Nell Larson is away this week, and we're hoping to get Zach Frankel on the line. Zach is with the Utah Rivers Council. He's going to be talking to us about what's going on down at the Capitol, down in Salt Lake City, with respect primarily with water issues, public lands and water. There he is. Zach, are you there?
I am.
All right. Thanks for taking the time this morning to come on This Green Earth with myself. And lots of things going on. You're down at the state capitol following the goings-on there in the latest legislative session. And, of course, you, as the executive director of Utah Rivers Council, are paying attention to all things water, watersheds and reservoirs and water supply, water quality, et cetera. So there's a number of bills or resolutions that are kind of address these issues. I'll let you start and take your pick. Which ones do you want? Which ones are kind of on the front burner for the Utah Rivers Council?
Well, good morning, Chris. I'm glad to be on the show. It's great to talk to you again. And it's been a busy legislative session, to be sure, on water issues. There's a whole slew of bills, primarily centered around going after Salt Lake City and other cities along the Wasatch Front who are working to protect their watersheds, their water quality, upstream of where their residents live. And it's a really interesting thing. It's called, in the Utah legislature anyway, they call it extraterritorial jurisdiction. And the representative, Mike Noel, who is pretty well-known, a Republican from a town, from a community east of Kanab in southern Utah,
right,
has been running a couple of bills kind of aimed at punishing Salt Lake City over its work to protect its watershed lands upstream of the city residents. And so House Bill 135 was Representative Noel's bill, and it's been a long road to try and kill it. It's been an issue going on for quite a long time now, and it died just yesterday in the Senate side, Senate Natural Resources and Agriculture. And the Senate, the Republicans there, and one Democrat on the committee voted 5-1 not to pass the bill. So it died in committee, which is a great victory.
Right.
What the bill would have done is prevent cities from protecting their water quality upstream of their water treatment plants by limiting the jurisdiction of what's happening in our watershed lands.
Really?
And
okay.
It's, yeah.
Okay, and then... So why would Mike Noel, by the way, we just got done talking with the Western Values Project about Mike Noel and Grand Staircase Escalante. So it's an all Mike Noel show so far. Why would he want to advocate or propose a bill like this?
Well, that's really a good question. You know, it's been couched in an issue, an ideological issue of overreach by cities.
Okay.
The implication is that cities should not be allowed to reach out and have regulations upstream of their city boundaries. And at first, that sounds like a compelling argument. That's why it's called extraterritorial jurisdiction. And when he presented it, he said it was super extraterritorial reach.
Okay.
And so... Unfortunately, though, it's not really grounded in reality. You know, when Brigham Young was establishing the empire that was built here, he gave an edict to Salt Lake City Council to protect the watershed land that Salt Lake City residents depend upon. And almost 200 years ago, they said, okay, we're going to establish protection for our water. And in little cities, those city managers are worried about the quality of their drinking water, and so they are protecting their watershed even outside of the city boundaries because, of course, a drop of water will flow downhill into anybody's boundaries and cross numerous jurisdictions. And so it's a simplistic idea to enrich a water quality by regulating in the city boundaries when you have where water flows downhill, like right. they did on the Wasatch Front. And there are a group of landowners in the Cottonwood Canyons who have purchased land, especially in Big Cottonwood Canyon, without water rights. And there has been from Salt Lake City Public Utilities. And okay. so Salt Lake City Public Utilities has been arguing water quality concerns about development in the canyons, and the landowners have come to Representative Noel arguing the ideological grounds about private property rights and development. And so that's why this bill has come back, and there's another one, House Bill 255, that is quite similar and sponsored by Representative Kim Coleman, who is a Salt Lake County Republican. And she's
lost you there. Lost you there for a second, oh, Zach. Yeah, oh, you said you said this is HB 255, sponsored by Salt Lake County Representative.
Yeah, Representative Kim Coleman, and she's running a bill that is quite similar to 135. It works to stop cities from purchasing lands upstream of their city boundaries. It doesn't prevent the city, a city, from purchasing land upstream. It just makes it a little bit harder to do so, okay. and incorporates some of the restriction ideology about protecting water quality upstream of water treatment plants as well.
Okay, so in summary, so far you said HB 135, the one sponsored by Mike Noel, did not make it out of committee. So that's pretty much dead.
That's dead.
But this 255, which has similarities to it, is still around?
Yes, 255 is now on the House floor, and it was circled last night. We came in to fight it at about 10:15 p.m. Representative Coleman circled the bill, which means that she is holding it because she doesn't have presumably enough votes to get it passed. It's very, very unpopular with cities. This isn't just about Salt Lake City. This is about Sandy and Provo and Ogden. As these cities grow, if these bills are passed, if there are measures to restrict them, So anybody that's concerned about this should call their House representative at the Utah legislature and ask them to vote no on House Bill 255. That's probably going to come up sometime today, is my guess, depending on when the sponsor feels like she has enough votes to have a vote on it to get it out of the House. It still, of course, will then have to pass the Senate if it passes the House today.
Right. It always seems to be there's this rubric of overreach, you know, this theme that Republicans seem to embrace about the idea of overreach. Of course, they're up in arms and upset when the federal government overreaches. But yet when cities and counties try to establish some laws or regulations that, you know, benefit those cities and counties, or that's what they want to do, the state legislature cries overreach and tries to push back on that. The most obvious one here in Park City is our ban on plastic bags. And I know you probably don't know much about this bill, but there is a bill within the House or so that's trying to rescind or prevent any cities or municipalities from establishing bans on plastic bags because of overreach. You know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, you know, there's sort of a couple of different kinds of legislators in the legislature. There are ideologues who feel like their purpose for being elected is to advance their ideological arguments, this idea that the federal government is, there's too much federal lands in Utah is part of that ideology.
Yeah.
And when they're faced with arguments to the contrary, that it provides economic benefit to the local economies, they sort of disregard it, and they're willing to disregard their supposed fiscal conservative policy. In this legislative session, for example, there's $350,000 to continue to fund the fight to try and sell Utah's federal lands. And so the ideological principles often take a front seat, sending the fiscal conservatism that the Republican Party uses to get elected, and that gets sent to the back seat. And that's not true of all the Republicans. Clearly, there's some good fiscal conservatives in the Utah legislature that want to take a look at the real bills and give local control to cities and counties. But right now, our Speaker of the House has made this extraterritorial matter, for example, a high priority. And so local control is an issue. And I think what you're articulated so well is that there is some hypocrisy with Republicans in the state house who argue that we need to have local control of our lands and we should take these lands back from the federal government. And then they turn around and simultaneously pass laws to prevent local cities and towns from having their own local governance and local control.
Right.
And the extraterritorial jurisdiction is another one. There's a couple other bills as well that people should take note of.
Yeah, before we get to that, Zach, let me just reintroduce you. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Zach Frankel. He's the executive director of Utah Rivers Council. We're talking about the latest on bills and legislation being put together down at the Capitol during this winter session. And we've gone through a couple of House bills. Okay, Zach, what else is going on? We got another 8 minutes or so.
Well, we should talk about Fantasy Island, where all your fantasies come true.
All right.
Which, of course, is Representative Mike McKell's House Bill 272. And this is this Shangri-La in Utah Lake, this idea that his bill is going to allow some money from United Arab Emirates, from Dubai, to come in and purchase somewhere between 10 and 16,000 acres of public lands held by all Utah taxpayers and sell these lands to this company to build a series of islands in the middle of Utah Lake and turn that into real estate development. So all of this is under the sheep's clothing of improving the water quality of Utah Lake. So
yeah, by filling it in.
Yeah, by filling it in. And the idea is, well, we're going to make it deeper and, oh, we're going to have all this money from the sale of these lands to improve the water quality.
Right.
So because, you know, as Representative McKell has presented in a couple of committees that we've been in when he's advanced this bill, there isn't money to improve the water quality of Utah Lake, which is this absurd fantasy that we can't address water quality in Utah Lake. Like, it's hopeless. And the reality of the situation is that when the Utah Division of Water Quality tries to regulate water quality, they're often met with resistance and prevented from taking the measures they need to improve the water quality of Utah Lake. And as a function of that, the Utah legislators, these ideologues, again, are keeping Utah Lake dirty while simultaneously saying, oh, the only solution is to sell our public lands to this company from the Middle East and then turn it into real estate development. And the big concerns about this is that they're going to allow real estate developments to put, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people into the middle of Utah Lake, and it's still going to have very impaired water quality.
Right.
You know, it's an impaired water body where the local regulatory agencies have restricted people from accessing Utah Lake because of the blue-green algae and the toxic compounds that come from its growth. And so, of course, the sensible solution is, since we're restricting public access to Utah Lake, why don't we put real estate in the middle of it, and then we'll restrict those people as well from living there?
So
it's a nonsensical fantasy. It's this ideological solution, again, of selling our state land. So that one is in the Senate. It's passed the House. It's on the Senate floor on the second reading calendar.
It passed. It passed the House.
It
has support.
It's really easy. You know, that one of the biggest problems we have at the Utah legislature is so few people show up to advocate against these bills. We really need more people to actually show up. Emails are great, but what we really need is more communication between the Utah public and their legislators. You know, The legislators are eager to have conversations with their constituents. They really are, especially when they show up in person. And I think we put a lot of pressure on our legislators. We don't, you know, they are voting on 1,000 pieces of legislation, and the reality is that most of them are not reading all that legislation. I mean, it's, in 45 days, they're asked to read between 5,000 and 10,000 pages of bills,
right?
And they don't have time to do that. So they rely on lobbyists and constituents.
Sure.
And the lobbyists are showing up, and the constituents are not. So if people show up and have conversations with their legislators and say, look, you know, this is a bad bill, and here's why I think so, why, then we can really change the policy that comes out. But unfortunately, we just don't have enough people showing up as we'd really like, and many conservation groups are working to encourage participation. But so if people are concerned, they should call their senator.
Right.
And say vote no on House Bill 272. It'll probably come up it's got to come up in the next 3 days. The session ends Thursday at midnight.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they have till now, till Thursday at midnight, to pass that bill in this session.
In this session. It's already passed the House. So
right.
House Bill 272 passes the Senate. It allows state lands to be swapped to build this fantasy island in Utah County. And, you know, it's one of many more bills that we anticipate coming up in the next few years to sell our public-owned state land. And it's disconcerting. We really need more leadership from the populace to express their concerns to their legislators about this. People want to keep their lands held in public trust for future use, they should be calling their legislators and talking to them, ideally in person.
Right. If you can get, okay, that's a big challenge. It's a big ask, but you're right, Zach. That's what you do. That's what you do probably every day at the Utah Rivers Council. All right, we have just a couple more minutes. Give us the latest on the Lake Powell pipeline. Where does that stand?
So the Lake Powell pipeline is still under federal permitting. The state of Utah has pressed the pause button. They've asked the federal government that is going to be considering issuing approval for the pipeline. The state has asked them to pause and hold on because the state has problems with what's happening. This is one of the largest new water projects in the United States today. It's a 140-mile-long proposed pipeline to pump 28 billion gallons out of the Colorado River up 2,000 feet, which require immense power usage, to deliver the water across 140 miles to two communities, King County and Washington County, who have some of the highest per-person water use in the United States. And back to Representative Noel, the land that Representative Noel owns in King County would actually receive water from the Lake Powell pipeline, and in fact is one of the few areas, the only area in all of King County that will receive water from this proposed pipeline is actually the few thousand acres of land in and around his personal land holdings. So the federal government will be issuing a permit on that, assuming everything goes well for the state of Utah, sometime in the next 2 years, unless we can stop that approval from happening. But it's a massive water project that is going to endanger the water supply of all the communities downstream and limit the water in the Colorado River for its flows through the Grand Canyon and all the way to the Colorado River Delta, where sustain a massive estuary.
And by communities, we mean states like Arizona, Nevada, California, you know, communities like L.A.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Major, you know, 30 million people's water supply downstream, you know. And, you know, it's funny because we hear a lot of criticism about Las Vegas' high water use. People visit and they see the fountains and they, Las Vegas, profligate water use. The reality is that Las Vegas is using less water than Utah is.
Because Las Vegas gets it, or at least they enacted policies and regulations that really understood and embraced water conservancy. Yeah, they still use a lot. You know, they're in the desert and they have a lot of golf courses, but they do, like you say, Zach, they're much more mindful and practice water conservancy at much greater levels than we do here.
Exactly. And again, it's that friction between ideology and fiscal conservatism in Utah collects a property tax as conferred by Utah legislators to reduce the price of water. So Las Vegas's water price, for the price of water in Washington County, in King County, in St. George. And that's because those water suppliers in Washington County and King County get more money collecting property taxes than they do from selling water.
Right.
So the Utah legislators, again, Representative Noel, runs the water district in King County, and his water agency gets more money collecting property taxes than from selling water. But it's an ideology. Instead of embracing free market economics to make sure that water suppliers are charging customers for the full price of water delivery, they're incentivizing people to waste water. They pay $1.20 per 1,000 gallons. In Las Vegas, the price of water is $4 per 1,000 gallons.
All right. Well, much more to talk about that, and we'll do that another time. Zach Frankel is the executive director with the Utah Rivers Council. You can learn more about Lake Powell Pipeline and all of the other work the Utah Rivers Council does by going to their website, which is utahrivers.org. And Zach, again, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning on This Green Earth.
Thank you for having me, Chris. It was wonderful to talk to you.
All right. We'll stay in touch. Hey, let's take a break for a couple underwriters. When we come back, I want to spend the last couple minutes talking about today's avalanche advisory. It is considerable, and you need to know as much about it as possible. I'll cover that when we come back. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
Support for KPCW programming has been provided by the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting Utah's remaining Red Rock Wilderness lands. SUWA and Utah's Red Rock Wilderness need your support now more than ever. To learn more about how you can become involved, please visit the SUWA website at suwa.org.
This is Stephanie, store manager at Jan's, a proud sponsor of KPCW. Jan's carries skis from brands like Atomic, Fisher, and Kessley, plus custom boot fitting to ensure boot comfort on the slopes. We also offer rentals of snowshoes, snowboards, and clothing. Jan's Mountain Outfitters, 649-4949 or jans.com.
Hello, this is Diane Reinhart with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. With 30 offices throughout Utah, we have been helping locals and visitors with their real estate needs since 1976, and are proud supporters of KPCW. Our agents are in Summit and Wasatch counties and can be reached at bhhsutah.com.
Hey, I only have a couple minutes, but go to the utahavalanchecenter.org website and learn about today's avalanche advisory, which they classify as considerable for all aspects above 8,000 feet. So that's in every direction above 8,000 feet. The avalanche advisory is considerable, and it really is more focused on the western and southern facing aspects in general. Here's what they say real quick. Today, the avalanche danger is considerable for both loose, wet avalanches and persistent slab avalanches. The loose, wet avalanches will occur somewhat predictably as strong sunshine heats up sun-exposed slopes. So that's mostly during the afternoon. The persistent slab avalanches are lurking, but not on every slope. You have to dig into the snowpack and look for a layer of facets near an obvious layer of dust. Also watch for this problem on slopes with shallow snow, like in steep, rocky areas. Go to the utahavalanchecenter.org to learn more. One last underwriter, and I'm going to wrap up.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, FredMarshallPainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Hey, thanks again to our underwriters who make this show possible. They include Recycle Utah, Republic Services,